Moving swiftly on. A very good morning to you. It's Pamela Ballantyne with you at 13 and a half minutes now past the hour of 9 o'clock. Now, some people say that there is a book in every single one of us, and some people also say, well, that's where it should stay. But I'm delighted that's not the case for my first guest this morning. Caroline Grace Cassidy is on the phone from her home in Dublin. A very good morning to you, Caroline Grace.
Good morning, Pamela. Thanks so much for having me on.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure. You were up in Belfast recently at the Belfast Book Fair, a big festival, I believe.
I was. The Belfast Book Festival had me up. It's my first time to go up for the book festival, not to Belfast, obviously, but the festival's just growing and growing, and it was great to just get up there and sort of, you know, get to talk about the book to the people who came along. So it was a fab time.
Yes, I was involved with one of the authors up there, and it really is tremendous. As you say, the book festival, it really is growing, and the diverse range of people that they have involved. And you coming up to talk about your story, I think it gives people sort of a bit of hope if they feel that they've got a novel inside them and they just don't know how to get it out. Because tell me the story about how you became a writer, because you are an actress.
Yes, so it was one of those it was something that I'd always thought about or dabbled with, I suppose, but I'd never, the thoughts of the full novel had always been a bit 100,000 pages. And like you say, I was acting. But like every good actress or every lucky actress, now and then you can fall pregnant. And I was lucky enough to find myself in that position. But as we all know, pregnant actresses don't work. So I was just sort of tipping around thinking, I might maybe try and write a short film for myself or something. But as it turned out, TV3, our local station down here in Dublin, they had a Write a Bestseller competition going on in connection with Poolbeck Press, who are one of the biggest, you know, Dublin publishing agencies.
Absolutely.
And I think that the deadline was sort of 6 weeks from when I was sort of sitting there watching the telly. And as I say, like, I'd had a, like kind of buzzy idea coming out of my head. So I just sat down and see if I could actually do it or just finish it. And I got it in time. But the only real thing I wanted to get out of it was maybe some feedback or to say, you know, well, that's a load of crap. You're totally wasting your time. But I didn't win it, but I was a runner-up, and I got the amazing 3-book deal out of that.
Tremendous. Okay. And when you get a 3-book deal, you must go, oh, that's great. Somebody, you know, they really love me. And yeah, I've had my first book in me, but oh, good Lord, the pressure.
Oh, no, yeah. And especially this contract was 3 and 3. So it was 3 books in 3 years. So like you say, Pamela, yeah, sitting down to write the second one was very different. You know, it's like anything when you're forced to sit and do anything. Apart from eat a cream cake, I suppose.
Oh.
it's one of those things where you just kind of have to draw from somewhere else and just get work down a paper, you know.
And was a part of you, as you say, you were home with the baby, and you're thinking, and you when you're pregnant and you're writing, and you're thinking, right, shall I write something that I can then star in?
Well, funny enough, no. Most of my characters. Never came from that sort of place, you know, that I think, God, that would be nice. Now, I have written a screenplay as well that I've written with a co-write with another friend, and that was a lot more sort of myself in it, thinking, perhaps I could put myself on this red carpet. But by and large, no, they've just literally been novels without the sort of expectation of them turn into movies, I suppose.
Yeah, and are you still acting as well, or the books and the writing taking over?
No, well, I sort of had stopped just because the books were taking over so much. And I set up a production company down here in Dublin. It's an all-female production company called Smart Blondes Productions. And we had started to make our own short films. Actually, two of them showed in Belfast last year and the year before. But so I was kind of busy tipping away with that. But I did actually go back to acting. And I've just been in a new Irish film called Sanctuary, which is picking up massive down here. It won at the Galway Film Slab the weekend.
Wow.
But it's the first film. In Ireland, I know the Americans once or twice that all the lead actors have intellectual disability. So it's absolutely amazing. You know, I think it's going to do really well for them. But it was a company in Galway called the Blue Teapot Tea Company, and they're all a company of actors with intellectual disabilities. And they sort of came up with this idea together, and then they got a writer involved, and the film board got behind it, and Len Collin, an English guy, he came on board to direct it. So it's a brilliant piece of work.
Oh, that sounds absolutely fantastic. Yeah. Can't wait to see it. You were actually also in one of my favourite films that came as quite a surprise. There was a lot of buzz going around in Northern Ireland when Natalie Portman and James Franco were filming Your Highness here, and then I watched it one afternoon, and boy did I get a shock.
I know. I didn't know.
But it was hilarious.
It was hilarious. The funny thing about that film as well, like, I've been up and down about 3 or 4 times to audition for it, and it wasn't a huge part, but it was the part of Zooey Deschanel, you know, she's a quite a well-known actor in the industry. It was a part of her kind of handmade, yeah. You know, it's kind of crazy. So there's a couple of scenes in it and a couple of scenes of Natalie Portman and obviously all the scenes of James Franco. But when I got up and it looked fantastic, like Titanic Waters, David Gordon Green, the director, he just said, okay, throw away the script. Okay, this sounds a bit dubious. Everybody just improvise. But they were like kids on camp, you know, because you know Danny McBride and James Franco and David Gordon Green, they do these crazy films together, like Pineapple Express. Yeah. And, you know, they're all a bit nutty. But, you've never seen anything like Natalie Portman, who you just mentioned in The Flesh, oh, mother of goodness.
Oh, yes. I mean, I've a couple of friends who were actually her body doubles in it. And I mean, they talking about cream cakes, they are all strangers to cream cakes.
Put it that way.
But talk of that, this is just sort of apropos of absolutely nothing. I was in one of the restaurant at the top of the House of Fraser, the Ivory, one morning doing a photo shoot, and this gentleman appeared up in he just came up the escalator with his young child in tow going, is there a toilet here, please help me. So we all scooped up, then we realised it was Damien Lewis.
Oh!
And he'd been put in charge of the child. His Helen, his wife, was filming something, and he was also doing Your Highness as well. And he said he was left in charge of the children. They needed the loo, they needed sugar, so we just stuck them all up at the bar and had coffee and tea with them, and it was the most bizarre thing. That was way before Homeland. But anyway, that's apropos of absolutely nothing.
That is a random story.
A very random story, absolutely. But anyway, back to you. And The Week I Ruined My Life. What a brilliant title, because I'm sure every single one of us has done something we go, oh, good heavens, why did I do that?
Yeah. Well, thanks. The title actually has been getting it. I mean, I've had people say to me, I've just bought this book because of the title. The titles are very important.
Totally.
But, yeah, it was one of those. I was actually out of contract, and Pullback had offered me another contract. And I was just sort of, you know, I'd say to an awful lot of writers, you don't give up the day job. You know, you're not, especially in Ireland, there isn't that huge market. So, you know, you're not raking in the books the way people may think you are.
Yeah.
You know, so it was a case of I was a little bit burnt out. I thought, oh, look, I'm not going to do anything. And then I was reading a magazine and this line just jumped out at me. And it just said, are you restless and searching for focus? And suddenly I just had this. I had the whole book basically came to me in a second, and I just had this idea about this character called Ali Devlin, who's in a very unhappy marriage, you know, but her husband isn't unhappy, you know, she's just very unhappy where she is. And, you know, I just kind of thought, you know, they're working at the marriage, and it's not the worst marriage in the world, you know, but I was just thinking, God, what if she did something that, you know, just completely turned her entire life upside down in 1 week? And that's where the sort of the bud of the seed came, and The Week I Ruined My Life came from that.
I mean, it just sounds, I haven't read the book yet, but I'm dying to get my fingers on it and get through it, because it just sounds like my type of read.
Yeah, no, it's great. And I also question, you know, I just wanted to question that whole old saying, you know, when couples stay together for the sake of the children or because of the children. And
well, I actually heard a phrase that somebody, and I've been using it quite often. It was actually Denise Welsh was on an interview panel. She's also written another novel, and she said she was doing her research with people, and it's about a woman who leaves her husband in her 50s. Right. And she said she did research, and she interviewed a couple who were in their 80s, and the husband was just so rude and disparaging and scathing to his wife, his long-term wife, that she actually said, it's not life's too short, life's too long.
Exactly.
To be miserable.
That's exactly one of the lines I put in, you know, till death do us part seems way, way too long away.
Exactly.
You know? So, and it's all, you know, on the case of the woman, that if the marriage is that bad and you would like to leave, you don't want to ruin the life of the kid. So I kind of just looked at that and turned that on its head a little bit. And like you say, life is too long to, you know, obviously everybody wants to be the best mother they can, you know, but there's other ways with someone to stay in a horrible, nasty marriage.
Yeah, almost. Most definitely. Yeah. Well, listen, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you this morning, and I really hope we will be chatting again in the very near future.
So, I'd love that.
Caroline Grace, thank you so much indeed, and wishing you the very, very best of luck with all the future novels. How many more are there in you, do you think?
Oh, I don't know. This is the fifth, so we will we have to wait and see.
back to acting for a rest.
Yeah. Out to Hollywood for a lie down.
Yay! Yes, become the new Jackie Collins, God rest, or Joan Collins. Yeah. And remember us when you're out there.
I will indeed.
Thanks so much indeed, Caroline Grace. Lovely to talk to you. Take care. Bye-bye. Have a great morning. Bye. Caroline Grace Cassidy, author of The Week I Ruined My Life. It's available in all good bookshops now. Yes, you can still buy books. I know we're all on our e-readers and whatever, but do go to a bookshop.